Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and best friend, Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello. Inventing my own language there. Hello, Niall.
Hello, we're back. It's been a minute.
Been a hot minute.
It has. We've had some busy times, different continents.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's going to feature heavily in this episode, so we might as well, we'll get rid of the elephant in the room. Jack's been to New York.
New York.
Is that offensive to do?
No. Also, just before we go into it, I made my whole holiday, not going to lie. We were staying in Chinatown, like bang smack in the middle of Chinatown. And Little Italy is like another little area that was almost adjacent. And, you know, we're walking through one evening, like we'd already eaten, been out for food. And all these restaurants have got like guys at the front being like, oh, okay, come eat at my restaurant, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one guy was like, oh, come have a free bottle of wine, like have some dinner. I was like, oh no, we've already eaten, thank you. And he went, forget about it. And I was like, yes. Somebody just told me.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a I'm walking here story.
No, oh Christ, I was hoping for I'm walking here, but a forget about it is just as good.
That might forget even be about better. It. Yeah. Nice. Well, I'm not going to forget about it. I am going to ask you about that.
Yeah, a bit more. I did not forget.
After. So we should probably explain. Jack and I have come to an accord on... I don't know why
nice.
I said it
that.
Like
sounds
that.
Really official.
We've come to an accord about perfect. how we're gonna do. That's a movie reference. We basically I don't know if I've put anything online about it for people who follow me on Twitter or whatever, but I've started a slightly different job. I mean, I'm doing the same thing still, but for Screen Rant, but it's keeping me busy. So I'm kind of in the interest of cutting down edit time and stuff, and also just keeping it fun for us to make the podcast. We're kind of just going to make it a little bit more casual, a little bit looser, not stick to such a strict format because it just saps the joy, you know?
Yeah, and God bless you. You have to sit there for hours upon hours editing this. So we can cut that down.
Once I've edited it, I just sit and listen back to old episodes constantly.
Oh, God, that sounds horrific. It's...
but yeah, it's just to keep that edit time down because it does. It's quite time consuming and I mean, it's fine. I love doing it, but I've got more constraints on my time now. So yeah.
Exactly.
We want to keep it fun. And also it will keep the actual listen time down, which I think puts some people off. Like,
yeah.
So yeah. We're gonna keep it a little bit shorter, a little bit looser. We'll still visit all the segments you know and love, and if you're a regular listener, then you won't feel, hopefully it won't be a big change, but yeah, it's just gonna be a little bit different. And if you don't like it, just send us a message, give us some feedback, because we love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But
yeah, if you suddenly hate everything we're saying, just tell us.
It'd be a little bit nice.
Yeah, so Jack, we'll start properly. We'll quit the preamble now, and we'll jump straight in. I'm still going to say it's a juicy segment because it will be the juiciest of segments, really.
Oh, I hope so.
It's well, maybe not this time, but weekly watches. Jack, have you watched anything?
You set me up. You knew my answer. You evil man.
Yeah, I knew.
So, every time I'm like, oh, I've only watched like two films. I've watched no films. I'm going to be real with you. However, can I talk about what I could have potentially watched on the aeroplane over to New York?
Yes, please.
I was really impressed. So I flew with Virgin, who I've never, you know, I'm always an EasyJet man because, you know, cheap and cheerful. Yeah. But flew with Virgin. What a great film selection they had. Like, really, really good. And part of my reasoning for not watching anything is because they were all films I wanted to watch, but I didn't want to watch it on, like, a 7-inch screen with, like, a cheap pair of, like, headphones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I get you.
Yeah. They had everything. They had Dune, they had French Dispatch, they had the new Ghostbusters, all the latest Marvels.
Oh, nice.
Big, loads of A24 stuff. I was really impressed. I was like, oh, wow, that is good.
Fair. That's,
you know, yeah. What I settled on, though?
Go on, what did you settle on?
Season 6 of Friday Night Dinner.
Fair enough. I did they even make a 6th season? I didn't.
Mate, they went beyond season 6. They should have stopped.
I thought, because he died, didn't he? Paul Ritter.
Yeah, rest in peace.
I thought 5 was the last one. I must have.
No. It got really quite painful. The first few are still quite good, but it got pretty bad. Anyway, we're already going way too left with this.
we've already gotten lost.
Well, we're already lost. That's 50 minutes. Tell me what you watched.
Well, as always, Jack, I've watched an awful lot.
As always.
So I won't go into all of it. I've seen a lot of new releases. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those. I have reviewed most of these. So I've got there's an in-depth examination of them on the site. I do try and make all the reviews spoiler free, so you know they are, but I won't drop any spoilers for the big ones here, so don't worry. But I saw, what did I see? It's been so long since we last recorded. I saw Moonfall. That was it was okay.
It looked very meh.
If you've seen one of those big disaster films, it's just the same thing over and over, isn't it? It's, you know, it's like watching Independence Day again, basically. Yeah. It was good, special effects were good and stuff, and it looked quite cool, and the plot was non-existent. It was just gibberish, but it was okay. I saw Sing 2 with the little ones.
Lovely.
I sort of watched Sing 1 to prepare for it. I hadn't seen Sing, so I watched Sing and then Sing 2 all in the space of 24 hours. And
brave man.
Do you know what? Better than I had in my head it would be. So,
oh, well, that's something.
You know, yeah. And then, I mean, the big kind of two that I saw at the cinema was saw Uncharted.
Yeah.
Didn't hate it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was okay. It just kind of, it felt very sort of run of the mill. I'll watch a sequel. But I'm not going to expect much. It
wasn't the next Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, it was, but it didn't do anything unexpected. You know, it was just exactly what I thought it would be. It was Tom Holland being Tom Holland. It was Mark Wahlberg being Mark Wahlberg. It was treasure hunting. It was action. It was, you know,
yeah,
exactly what I thought it would be. Big set pieces. There were some fairly funny moments. It's worth watching. I would definitely recommend it to people.
It looks fun.
I would also recommend it with the caveat of it's exactly what you think it will be.
It's a video game movie.
Yeah, although I think the connotations of saying, it's a video game movie, I think that sort of instantly makes people think it's kind of bad. It's
that's true.
Bad. It's just not particularly good.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Just go in with your expectations sort of at a realistic level and you'll be fine. The big one that I've seen is The Batman.
Hey.
Yes, it was everything I hoped it would be.
That's great.
I think I gave it 90% personally.
Oh, damn, that's good.
It's a little bit higher than most people think.
How was Arpats? Did he pull it off?
He really did. He really did. And
good.
Kind of, again, I'm not going to spoil it at all here. So if you're worried about it, don't be. I'm not going to spoil any of it. To be honest, I was talking to my partner earlier about it, and there's not really much you can spoil about it. Short of recapping the whole plot.
Mm.
But even that, a lot of its charm is kind of in its presentation. It's in not just the visuals, but the acting physically. Robert Pattinson as Batman, he's got this weird kind of physicality. He walks in a way that you cannot take your eye off of him.
Okay, he is good at stuff like that.
It's like a sort of weird sort of swagger, but it's also kind of it's really hard to describe, but yeah. There was really something in it. You can tell he very much became like the character, like he always does. He's very Robert Pattinson. But he's very Robert Pattinson in the way that he just becomes a character and you're not really seeing him.
Yeah.
Which really is exactly his job.
That's testament to the...
Yeah, but then to be honest, like, we'd both already said that that's what we were expecting because he's great and, you know...
Does the job.
I thought it was just generally really well put together. I mean, I tweeted about the some of the music and the kind of little motifs and stuff. Like, you know that sort of Batman theme that was in the trailer, the sort of like... Yeah. It's almost like the Imperial March. It's very sort of similar thematically. But the way that is used is just like every now and then I would just catch it. Like it was playing.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, like in a slightly different like arrangement or whatever. Like
yeah.
There was one bit where I realized it was really sort of quietly playing in the background, just purely drums.
That's cool.
And like stuff like that, and I just thought, God, that's a really nice touch.
Mm. Who did the soundtrack? Do you know?
Michael Giacchino, I think that's how you say it.
I'm not familiar with the name.
I honestly can't think off the top of my head what else he's done, but he's quite well respected. Like, he did a great job. I can't fault his work at all. And like,
smashed it.
Even where there was like the use of a couple of Nirvana songs or the same Nirvana song a couple of times. It was very, very well done. It felt like quite organic with the film, and it wasn't just like, oh, look, there's a song I know kind of thing. It was, yeah.
It felt right.
Yeah. And there were times when the score was, you couldn't ignore it. Like it's very much there. It's not a background thing. It's a part of the film, like a real noticeable part of the film, which I like. But it was also used in a way that it really elevated scenes. And like, I don't know that that will necessarily translate the same way to kind of home media, but on the big screen with the, you know, I could feel it in places. You can feel the music, and it is,
wicked.
It's quite something. Paul Dano, I didn't really mention him much in my review. Again, he's very much like, in a sense, similar to Robert Pattinson. Like, he just blends into the role and...
Oh, yeah, he gets stuck in.
He was so creepy.
He is a creepy guy.
Thing is, like, and again, this isn't really a spoiler. It's just a sort of general kind of observation that you can kind of get from the trailer. But a lot of it is about the kind of mystery of, like, who the Riddler is, what he's doing. The whole point of it is, and you can tell this from the trailer, that he's kind of... playing a game that they have to try and work out. And it's kind of quite naturally, when you think about it, he's not in it that much. He is, but he's not. It's a Batman film, and Batman is very much the focus. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman.
Yeah, she looked great.
I've got to say, I can't quite decide who my favorite Batman is overall yet. But Robert Pattinson was great, and he's definitely a contender for my favorite.
Yeah, but, he could do something different with it.
Yeah, but Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman, for me, is a clear, just clearly the best one.
Really?
Because it had sort of, her performance had elements of what made Anne Hathaway's good. It had elements of what made Michelle Pfeiffer's good. It obviously didn't have a lot in common with Hedy Lamarr from the, you know, 60s.
Yeah.
Because that was very cartoony. But I guess Hedy Lamarr's kind of inspired this one, which inspired that one, which inspired this one. So, you know, it kind of trickles down. But there was no kind of cat gimmick, really. It wasn't like the whole thing where Michelle Pfeiffer's like licking her hands and being acting like an actual cat.
There's no leather.
No, there is leather. Don't worry about that. I think the problem with most previous Catwomen, like Halle Berry's, Anne Hathaway, to a point Michelle Pfeiffer as well, they're very much, the character is treated very much like a kind of, not quite like an object, but it's very much like, oh, look, there's your eye candy. And,
yeah,
and
sexy
it's very much
kick.
Like, yeah, it, and it is very much relegated to that position of like, she's there to be looked at, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess this is more the writing than the actual performance, but Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman was very, she was very real. She was very kind of, like, don't get me wrong, she's an attractive woman. It's not that at all. It's just,
yeah,
generally, she was treated as more than that. You know,
always good.
And the times when there were times in the film where it was a bit like, oh, look what she's wearing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was done specifically in that moment for a genuine story reason, character reason.
Right.
And it was always that she looks like that when she wanted to look like that, not just because the audience would want to see
just
it.
Here's Catwoman.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, very well done. Like, the character was, I don't think you could do Catwoman much better in terms of like how you would put her into a film. So,
cool.
Really excited to see kind of where that maybe goes, or I don't know. You never know what they're going to do, but you know, I guess the idea is all of these characters really can be kind of used for
literally
sequels
anything.
In yeah, yeah. Colin Farrell's Penguin I thought was really good. He kind of kept popping up for various reasons, and he's unrecognizable, like completely. You can't hear Colin Farrell in the voice. You can't really see him in the character.
Okay.
Like, but it didn't, it looked convincing. He didn't look, you know,
like gimmicky.
No. And again, like, I think that's exactly the right way to do the character. He wasn't like some tiny little sort of strange man. Like, he's quite often portrayed to just be really small for no reason.
Yeah.
Or,
like Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Like Danny DeVito. But Colin Farrell's Penguin was great. I think for me, the unexpected part, Jeffrey Wright's Commissioner Gordon.
I like Jeffrey Wright a lot.
The thing is, I've always liked Jeffrey Wright, but I wasn't expecting to like his Commissioner Gordon in the way that I did.
Right.
I thought I had no issue with him being Gordon. I had no, you know. But yeah, there was just something about him in the role, very much like Robert Pattinson did for Batman, where he was just the character. There was no, you know, oh, that's Jeffrey Wright being the character. Mm. It wasn't, and I felt a bit like that with Gary Oldman in that role. I felt like he was Gary Oldman being Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
Whereas Jeffrey Wright felt so much more kind of natural to me. I don't really know why, but he just did.
Just felt right. What about Andy Serkis?
Yeah. Andy Serkis was actually in it a lot less than I thought he would be, which I liked. I liked that it wasn't just about his relationship with, you know, Batman and Alfred's relationship, because that's been done
a lot.
It does kind of set up, like, maybe for future. Like, he's an interesting character. You can tell there's kind of an interesting story there, and it's using different elements of the, you know, you can tell by looking at Andy Serkis, it's not going to be the sort of frail old butler like Michael Caine was. But equally, he's not going to be like the sort of young, like SAS butler of like Gotham, or, you know, it's an interesting sort
something
of
there.
Middle ground. Yeah. And again, just excited to see what maybe happens there, or, you know, but I think what I liked the most, and again, I didn't really touch on this too much in the review, but there was very little Bruce Wayne in the film.
Oh, so it was just mainly Batman.
Mainly. Obviously, you do see Bruce Wayne. He is a part of the film, but he's not really a part of the story, which feels normal. You know, Bruce Wayne isn't necessarily a part of Batman's story, is it? And I think the idea that he always gets kind of brought into them doesn't always make sense for the story you're telling. So, you know, he popped up where it was necessary for him to pop up, and he was there when he needed to be there as Bruce Wayne. But it was very much like, it was written as he's Bruce Wayne when he needs to be, but he's Batman the rest of the time. And it really kind of doubled down on the idea that Batman is his true self and Bruce Wayne is his kind of,
his
disguise. Yeah. And it also didn't do the kind of like, I liked the Nolan films, but they did this thing where they kind of tried to establish that Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne would be out all night as Batman. He'd sleep for 2 hours and then he'd wake up and he'd do 50 press ups and he'd look healthy. And,
yeah, yeah.
And it didn't try and do that. It didn't try and establish that he is some Superman who can achieve things that no other person could. It kind of established that he's a good fighter. It established that he's quite strong. It established that he's a good detective. And that is essentially it. Like, he's got some sweet gadgets and stuff, but it doesn't really, it's not really about that. It's very much about him trying to kind of solve the mystery of the Riddler. And I liked that. It was a fun kind of take, but it was quite serious and
it sounds good.
Yeah. I can't recommend it enough. It was long. That's my only real criticism, is it's long. There are a few bits where it starts to drag a little, but it picks straight back up. So, you know,
what
and
is
even
the
in those moments, I believe it is 175 minutes. So Ooh. 2 hours, 55.
Yeah, almost three.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's quite a long one, but I honestly enjoyed every minute of it. Like,
yeah, I like a good film like that. And you're like, oh, I could have done with another 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I understand the criticisms, definitely, and I can kind of relate to them in a way, but I don't agree with them personally. I liked it as was. It don't get me wrong, it wasn't a perfect film, but it was everything I hoped it would be, which...
What more can you ask for?
Exactly. And another thing I like, just really quickly before we move on, is most of what it used in the trailer... In fact, almost all of what it used in the trailer was in the first kind of 4 or 5 scenes.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. So
it's not one of those where the trailer spoils most of the film.
No.
And, like, I didn't even realise, really. I sort of did when I was watching. I thought, oh, well, that's pretty much everything we've already seen, and that's done already. But most of the kind of substantial bits you see in the trailer, like the bit where he's fighting people on a subway platform, a particular bit with the Riddler, a bit with Alfred, and a bit like where he's just fighting some random guys. It all happens
in the first
half an hour, really. Yeah. And then it's only kind of the little flashes of stuff that actually happen later on. And it doesn't, with no context, it doesn't spoil anything. So there were lots of kind of twists and turns to it. So.
Nice. So, I definitely will have to check that out.
Yeah, I am going to go and see it again. So, you know, if it's good enough for me to want to go more than once, it's got to be worth seeing.
That's something,
at
yeah.
least once. Yeah. One last film I do want to talk about is one that, for the opposite reason, really, because last time we talked about this and I sort of said I was kind of excited for it and you said your hopes weren't very high and I said, it might be better than you think. I was wrong. And you were right. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new one.
Yes.
I am going to... There'll be a couple of spoilers for this film in the next sort of 5 to 10 minutes, I guess. 5 minutes. Because it's been out a while. It's on Netflix. If you're that desperate, you know, it's right there.
How much can you spoil a Texas Chainsaw Massacre film, really?
Well, exactly. You know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think, for me, the kind of issue with it, basically it tried quite hard to use the same sort of elements that other kind of legacy horror sequels have been doing, like it, especially Halloween, like you said that, didn't you, Jack, last time?
Oh, big Halloween vibes.
Yeah, it was trying to rip off Halloween by like bringing back Sally Hardesty from the original film, and it retconned everything but the original film. which, you know, again, on principle, that doesn't necessarily make it bad. No. Like, that can work. But it didn't. It didn't work. It was awful. For a start, there's 50 years between the original film and
a long time.
This one. And, you know, 50 years in real life. But instead of going, that's quite a long time to try and make people believe that these characters are still, like, out there and stuff. They could have made that film like set in the 90s, maybe, or, you know, and done it sort of as a kind of atmospheric, like, nostalgia trip. Instead, it was just, it's, you know, the 2020s, and there's been 50 years since all that happened, and now it's all happening again. And it's just like, okay, but Leatherface has got to be at least 70 years old now. That has been established, actually. I have written a couple of things about this for Screen Rant, and Leatherface is like confirmed to be 74 in the new film.
That's funny.
That's beyond funny, because when you watch it, Leatherface is still physically imposing, strong, fast, superhuman in most ways. It's pure mindless slasher. In like, I like slasher
films. I love slashers.
Yeah. So when I say it's a mindless slasher, I mean that in the most literal sense. Like it just has no thought behind it at all. Because slasher films themselves are kind of born of this idea of, you know, teenage rebellion, and that idea that teens think they're invincible, and this is what happens when they take that too far.
Exactly. You know?
That's why it's always about teens doing drugs, teens having sex, teens, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing, and then the consequences, i.e., you know, Jason Voorhees appears and teaches them a lesson. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this new one, it not only did it not do that, it made a point of not doing that. Like, it was like willfully just nonsense. Like, it was just, these people are coming to this town that's abandoned, and now they're all going to get murdered.
And that was literally it.
I think I put in my review that it felt and played out like a film that had been written by a 12-year-old who had never seen a horror film. Like, it was like someone explained that, oh, in these horror films, normally there's like a big scary monster that can't die, and they just kill everyone.
Yeah.
And that some kid was like, okay, I can write that. I'm going to write a film.
It's $20 million.
Yeah. And that's what, don't get me wrong, like, it looked kind of cool. Like, there was one bit where Leatherface goes, like the bit from the trailer where he goes on the bus.
Yeah.
Also, exactly what you said about the whole, oh, you're going to get cancelled, bro.
Yeah.
And he carves him up. That's exactly what happened. And it was just like this silly cancel culture joke.
Yeah. And straight away.
But there's this bit, and he carves this woman in half as she's climbing out the bus window.
Wow.
And her front half falls out and her legs fall back in, and her entrails and like intestines are all sort of hanging off the broken glass of the bus. And it's gross, and it's done. Like, it looks quite realistic. Okay. But it's so stupid. There was no point to it.
No.
There was no kind of poetic irony to any of it. It was just Leatherface murders a load of people and
here's some guts that's for the sake of it.
Yeah, that is literally it. There is no redeeming quality to that film at all. It has a sort of end that sort of tries to set up a sequel, but I can't imagine anyone caring enough to want to see a sequel.
No, but then if it's a Netflix film, somehow they always get a sequel.
They do, and people will watch it because it's on Netflix. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm guilty of this too. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't sleep. I'll just watch whatever is there. And if it's, you know, but if you like to be scared by your horror films, don't bother. It's not scary. There's a couple of like jump scares that you can see coming a mile off that aren't scary. And it, because there's no kind of deeper ideas behind it, there's just nothing to it. It's just a nothing film. It is not worth wait. It's 80 minutes long and it's not even worth that.
Oh, that is a shame.
Like, just don't bother. Unless you want to laugh at how bad it is. That's, you know, all I can say.
There you have it.
So that, I mean, I've watched more than that, but I think that's enough, don't you?
Well, in the interest of keeping things short, Noel, I think,
short and sweet, like Danny DeVito.
That's it. God bless.
He is, can we sort of make him like our, can we make this like a Danny DeVito stan podcast or something?
Sure. I mean, we've got many a person we idolise.
Yeah, Jamie Cullum.
Jamie Cullum, number one boy.
That probably makes no sense to anyone. I have a feeling we've never actually...
We've not talked about it.
We've not, no. But
you got Jamie Cullum and his jazzy fingers.
Oh, I don't know if I like jazzy fingers. Jack, you've been to New York.
Did I not mention 1,000 times?
I think I mentioned it more than you did, actually.
Actually,
at the start,
I've not really talked about it too much.
No, well, we're going to fix that right now. Jack, tell us about New York.
Wow. Where to begin? I will just straight up say everything you think New York is going to be, like it just is, but just bigger. Like it's mental. It's full on sensory overload.
Nice.
Sometimes a little bit intense. Actually quite a lot intense, but
yeah.
Really, I mean, the first night we got there, so we got there in the late afternoon, and by the time we'd gotten from the airport to the Airbnb and whatever, we went out and we were like, right, we need to get some food. And within 10 minutes of being outside, these two guys come like running down the block. And I just assumed they were together. Like they were shouting. I thought, oh, you know, they've had a few drinks. Turns out they weren't together. Yeah. One of them kind of like ran off screaming. And the other guy who was chasing the other guy, he fell over, like flipped, stood up and screamed, I love heroin. And then just ran off into the night.
Okay,
there's a little you have to censor that bit, but
oh yeah, I think I've still got the clown honk. I'll just
but yeah, I mean, really a truly interesting city.
Yeah, I mean, I think all cities are like that to a point though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like
there is an element.
Yeah, London is very much that, I think, to people who don't live in the UK.
Yeah,
it felt very similar, but also entirely, entirely different.
Yeah, so you saw a few like famous film locations. We have talked about this a little bit ourselves, but we'd talk about it again, and I'll pretend that we've not already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
just feel like pantomime.
Yeah.
So, go on, Jack. Where did you see? What was good?
We'll get the main one out of the way because, not gonna lie, this was kind of like 90% of the reason I went on the trip anyway. But I went and saw the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Nice.
It was just amazing. Like, it was so... I got up...
So can you go in? Because don't really know anything about it.
You can't. Well, you can, you can't. I couldn't when I went on that particular day, because it is still a fully functional fire station.
Did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've just kind of embraced it. It's really weird. You know how, like, tall and skinny it looks?
Yeah.
Quite a tall building. All of their fire stations in New York are like that. I think where there are so many, they only need like one fire engine per station, like however many blocks apart. So it doesn't need to be big. And every fire station kind of like takes on its own little like character or mascot or whatever. And they've got like custom like logos and whatever. And this one has very much just fully embraced Ghostbusters. Like they've got logos everywhere. Out on the sidewalk in front of it, there's like Ghostbusters murals. Like, yeah, they fully went for it.
I like that. That's heartening, isn't it?
It was cool. Like, yeah. I got up one morning and I punched it into the into Google Maps, and it was like a 5-minute walk from where I was staying. And I was following it, and then I literally turn the corner, I look up, and it's literally just there. I'm like, wow, there it is. Like, it's so iconic.
Nice.
No Bill Murray, unfortunately, but
that's really sad. I would have been so happy for you if he'd been there.
Can
but
you imagine?
I mean, what would the chances be?
Very minimal, really? But also Bill Murray does like doing random things, so it would not surprise me if he just was kind of like sleeping in a sleeping bag out the front.
Definitely. Did you see? I had a good one in my head of like, I was going to ask you if you saw, oh no, now I can't think what it was called. What's the pizza place that Peter Parker works in Spider-Man 2?
I couldn't find it, but yeah, I know the one you mean.
With Mr. Aziz.
Yeah, yeah. Pizza Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, New York is just iconic anyway. Like, it's in almost every film. Like, it's just such a character in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you saw the one you were most excited about was the Sex and the City.
Yeah, went and saw Carrie Bradshaw's place on a lovely, lovely street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly lovely, actually. It was a great house. Much to the owner's, the word I'm looking for.
Dismay.
Yeah, probably. He wasn't very happy at the...
Yeah.
The massive line of white girls waiting to queue up and take pictures outside Carrie Bradshaw's house, but...
White girls and you.
And me, yeah, I would kind of joined in.
Yeah, and I can just picture this man sort of coming out, chasing you off with a broom.
He just walked out of his Labrador and was just like sighing and tutting. Like,
well, I'm sorry, if you don't like it, don't live there.
Yeah, you literally bought that house knowing full well. Like, you would have paid extra as well because it was...
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if he wanted to sell that place...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's a pricey piece of real estate anyway, but to sell it on, it would sell for more than it's really worth because of what it is. So he would make a killing and he could get a bigger place somewhere else.
Yeah.
He could if it's that much of an issue for him, he could. And then, I mean, no one visits there. So
no one at all. Where else have I been? I mean, it's everywhere in Spider-Man, especially the Tobey Maguire ones. That's New York.
You've been to every single Spider-Man location.
Like Goodfellas, and in a lot of kind of like gangster films, there's Brooklyn area is featured quite heavily, like underneath the subway. It's that iconic kind of real gritty looking, like, dirty, dark, dangerous part of town. That was quite cool to see that.
We did, like, we briefly touched on it a minute ago off podcast, but I've got to ask because I do want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
You went to Coney Island.
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, it's not probably... Coney Island is famous for a lot more than just this.
Yeah.
But to us, and I've got... I've got another like quite close friend who loves the Warriors and I'll point him to this episode. The Warriors was quite famous. I mean, it wasn't even really set in Coney Island. They just ended up there because that's where they were from.
Yeah, exactly.
But still.
Very, very cool. Also kind of creepy because I went in winter, so everything was shut.
Did you click any bottles together and...
I did, do you know what? I did look around for a couple of bottles. I was like, I've got to do something. But there was, annoyingly, it was clean. Like, who cleans a beach? Like, come on.
Yeah, God, these Americans and the clean beaches. Yeah. That's disappointing.
It was extremely disappointing. That wasn't real. That's a clean beach. Coney Island was cool. Where else? Statue of Liberty. Obviously, that's in like everything, as well as just being the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, it is only famous for being in films, though.
Oh, really. Yeah. Again, the Ghostbusters walked her across the Hudson River.
Yeah, and it was in Spider-Man No Way Home.
It was indeed.
Did she have a shield, or was it like...
Not that day. She kind of kept it to herself.
No, well, it did fall off, didn't it? And Green Goblin was beaten half to death on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a whole thing.
That was a thing.
Yeah, that did happen for real.
Oh, it did, yeah. Oh, how am I forgetting Central Park? You know, Home Alone.
Oh,
we've got John Wick.
Central Park.
And Elf. I mean, literally everything.
Elf's the big one, I think.
Yeah. Although, little Kevin in Home Alone where he sees the pigeon lady.
Do you know what? I'll be honest. I've never seen Home Alone 2.
Have you not?
Never seen it.
Interesting. Home Alone, first one, is undoubtedly the better film, but I do really enjoy two. I definitely would recommend it, and you get to see Mr. Trump in it as well, so
I don't know if that's a positive, but I mean, I just, thing is, every year I think I should definitely watch it this year, and then I just never do, and now I've missed my shot. Really, I don't want to watch it mid-year, it seems weird, so
hold out.
It's gonna have to be Christmas.
Before you know it, don't worry.
Yeah, it always is.
It always is.
I mean, do you know what? One more. We're kind of getting off the idea of like what you saw in New York thing. But do you know what? Another great New York set film is, I don't think people necessarily kind of would jump to straight away, is Good Time.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I took me a second. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love that film. I mean, we've already talked about Robert Pattinson, but that was such a good film.
Yeah, it really was. And also, Safdie Brothers, obviously Uncut Gems, we go on about it a lot. That was New York, was it not? Was that in the Diamond District? Yeah. Is that New York?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, personally, I think I preferred Good Time to Uncut Gems. Like, don't get me wrong, I loved Uncut Gems, love Adam Sandler. Like, I'm not ever going to say I didn't enjoy it, but Uncut Gems gets a lot of love, like a lot. Like, it deserves it. Don't get me wrong, completely deserves it. But personally, I preferred Good Time. I just thought it was, you know.
Good Time is great.
There was something about Good Time that I just enjoyed more. And, like, I don't know, maybe it's because that world kind of spoke to me a bit more than, you know, these gambling, like,
yeah,
whatever. But, yeah, I mean, they're just, the Safdie brothers are just great filmmakers. Like, I couldn't fault either of those films anyway.
Are they working on anything at the moment?
So I have no idea. I probably should know that, but
yeah, I feel like they are. They must be.
No, do you know what? It's crazy. Some of the people who, again, like, slowly turning into a Screen Rant podcast, but some of the people who work for Screen Rant, they just know everything, like literally everything. And
that's their job.
Well, yeah, but technically it's my job too, Jack. So
that's true.
Exactly. You know, that, do you know what? That is crazy. That's something that, like, again, we sort of talk about it, but we don't talk about it. So my actual job is that I write for Screen Rant, and I now am sort of committed to writing like 100 articles a month for them. So that's a lot. And
that is a lot.
This is actually something quite fun. I've not actually told you about this, but the last couple of weeks, since I've had to kind of step up my output,
yeah,
they like you to kind of come up with most of your own ideas, as opposed to like having an editor give you an article to write or whatever.
Right.
So a lot of what you see on Screen Rant comes from the brain of the person who's written it or from research they've done or whatever. So like one of the things that they kind of suggest, and it works because people click it like mad, is that you find fan theories.
Oh right? Yeah, so like, people love that.
You know, you go on Reddit and you look through the fan theories and you go, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like even if it's not particularly plausible. One of the ones I wrote the other week was about Star Trek.
Okay.
Someone had written this Star Trek fan theory, and I read it and I was like, I mean, kind of stupid, but it puts, like, it has interesting ramifications. And because I read it and I thought, I've got a few things I could say about that, like, why not? So I put it forward and I wrote it, and you know, I put a link to the original, like the Reddit post that had been made by this person. I didn't think to look at like the replies in that post. People on Reddit hated it, and they were dragging this poor person who had written it. Like,
Reddit is awful.
Oh, it's a horrible place. But they then started on the comments of the article I'd written.
Oh boy.
And a lot of them were just like, this Niall Gray seems like he's dealing with an untreated concussion. Someone said this reads like it was written by a 10-year-old. Which, I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn, but that's just not true. Like, I'm a decent writer. It's not
honk honk.
The quality of the writing wasn't the problem. The problem was the fan theory itself was a bit flimsy.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, you know? It was about like in the first film something happens that could be the start of a simulation, and then everything that comes after it is a simulation, which again, like, that's a stupid theory.
There's time to talk about it.
But well, no, but it was the evidence this person put forward, like quite a lot of evidence for like why that works, and it was okay. It was an all right idea, like, why not? But at the end of the day, what happened was thousands upon thousands of people clicked on that just to tell me how stupid it was. And what they don't realize is they do that, and then I get paid, and then they comment on it, and a load of other people see it, and I get paid. And
keep it coming.
Like, I just don't care if you hate it. I really don't. And I did the same with a thing about a couple of things about Batman.
Oh, wow.
And not about the Batman, about one was about the Riddler, about like Jim Carrey's Riddler and why it was kind of slightly more comic accurate than Paul Dano's. And, you know, it's an angle. It's not necessarily one I completely agree with. In the Batman comics, all these characters have been done in so many ways that you can kind of spin it however you like. And, you know, and people were so angry. And there was someone that was super angry that I'd suggested at one point that Christian Bale would fit better in the DCEU than Michael Keaton. That was
blasphemy.
Like, I was almost crucified online.
I can imagine.
And I've sort of gotten to this point where I've realized how funny it is. Like, it is just people getting so irate about the stupidest things. Like,
it's too easy.
Yeah, and do you know what? The funniest part is I don't even care. Like, I don't care about which Batman's better. I don't care about which Riddler's better. I don't care about Star Trek theories. I don't care about any of it. Like, I like Batman. I like Star Trek.
It's all preference, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Exactly. And if someone came up to me, like, on the street, or, like, a friend said to me, do you know what? I really loved Val Kilmer's Batman. I wouldn't go, what are you, concussed? I would just go, oh, okay, right, fair enough. I didn't, but sure.
To each their own.
Yeah, what's the problem, you know?
There's enough Batman for everyone.
Yeah, you know, it's just, there's no need to be like a crazy person about stuff. Just, you know, settle down, you know?
Simmer down.
Yeah. So, Jack, there is one more thing we wanted to talk about. Well, you wanted to talk about specifically. The Elvis trailer.
Oh, Elvis, yeah.
So it's what, a couple of weeks old now?
2 weeks, yeah.
But we haven't recorded since. No. And I know you're super excited. I'm an Elvis fan, but I am not. I mean, that makes me sound weird. Like, I don't know. I am a fan of Elvis Presley
and his manager. But, No, I should clarify, I'm a big Elvis fan. I'm not a diehard. I don't know everything.
Oh, no, same. Yeah. Just enjoy the music.
Love the music. Baz Luhrmann, you know, he's a good director. And Baz Luhrmann always reminds me of you, Niall.
Yeah.
Baz Luhrmann, the German.
Yeah.
You always used to say that. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but...
It was because we watched Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was probably it, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think Austin Butler looks great.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I kind of, my first thought was, well, he doesn't look that much like Elvis. Like, he looks like him because he's dressed like him and he's got the hair. And I caught myself thinking that, and I thought, but why does that matter? Like, it doesn't matter if he looks exactly like Elvis, because if that was what mattered, they'd just CGI his face to make him look exactly like Elvis. And what would be the point in making the film? So, you know, I'm excited about it because it just, I don't know, like...
Got potential.
It is, yeah, it's, I don't know, you never know though, do you, with it? It can go like...
Yeah, especially...
One way or the other.
Especially, you know, musicians. I mean, everybody loved Bohemian Rhapsody. I haven't watched it and I flat out refuse to.
Same. I've not watched it, don't want to watch it. But
it's not even like in a hipster way. I mean, Queen have been around for bloody decades. But since that film has come out, I mean, Queen were played a lot anyway. Since that film has come out, I cannot go anywhere without hearing Bohemian Rhapsody. And it's starting to drive me mental.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But then, like, sort of on the flip of that, like, I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan. Like, I love Johnny Cash.
Brilliant.
And Walk the Line was excellent. And that did nothing but make me love Johnny Cash more. And again, like, Joaquin Phoenix, it's just, you can't. Brilliant. There's nothing to fault at all. But I think, I don't know, you know, like I said, they can kind of one way or the other, where even if it's a decent film, sometimes it can just kind of not be interesting.
It was an interesting trailer in the fact that it was quite different. It felt quite modern. Like, the music choice was like, it was electric guitars, but it didn't sound anything like Elvis. This kind of stuff. I don't know. It was just a weird trailer.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Tom Hanks looks terrifying. Got some weird fat suit going on. Like,
Is it? It is a fat suit.
I hope so.
I mean, I don't.
I mean, of all the films, I get
worried
for,
about him. Yeah. Yeah. True.
But yeah, no, I definitely watched. You know, the last biopic I watched was actually at the cinema, and that was Straight Outta Compton.
I liked Straight Outta Compton.
I enjoyed it.
Wait, can we just revisit this, right? Because you say biopic, I say biopic.
Oh, I didn't even.
Does it matter?
I didn't even clock on that you said biopic. I don't know.
I've just always said it like that, and no one has ever corrected me. So if I sound like an idiot,
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I can't say it as biopic. I just it like
that doesn't sound.
I have to make a conscious effort to make my mouth
can
do
you
it.
Say it. I can picture your lips doing it.
Biopic.
A bit of a Stewie Griffin.
I don't know. It just doesn't. Biopic, Lewis. Yeah. So if I sound like an idiot, you know, just
let him have it on Reddit.
But you know, we've established already. I just don't care anymore. I'm done. I don't care. I've lost all dignity. I'm just going to wear a fat suit like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And that'll be
our manager.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to the end of this week's podcast. But wait, there's more. Before we come to our hilarious closing minutes, please do go and follow Corner of Film on the social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And they'll keep you up to date with all the latest quality content at cornerofffilm.com.
Oh, nice. That's a nice read.
That's my like radio voice. You can also follow me personally at Lord of the Grey on Twitter if you're interested. I do just normally post stupid stuff on there. I think today I posted about having Greggs delivered to your door like a king.
Quite right.
Yeah. Lastly, please do drop us a review or rating on your podcast platform of choice. It just helps give us a boost. And, you know, maybe while you're there, follow, subscribe, whatever you've got. It just helps us, you know, it helps us reach more people. And we'd be really grateful for that.
Lovely.
Jack, it's actually lovely. It's lovely jubbly. It's my turn for the quote this week.
Hurrah.
I'm going to be honest with you, and I've kind of copped out and gone with an easy one. I'm just going to throw it at you, Jack. It might sound familiar to you, so you know. Who the hell are you supposed to be? I'm Vengeance.
That was pretty good.
I've been practicing
forget
all day.
About it.
Forget about it.
Walk in here.
Well, we've been Jack and Niall from the Corner Film Podcast, and you have been...
Forget about it.
Oh, good. Goodbye,
Jack. Niall. Goodbye, Niall. Goodbye, Niall. Goodbye, Niall.
Just goodbye to the listener. Goodbye.
Bye.
Au revoir. Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Well, I can't think of anything funny to say, so let's just
no.